Today's shiur will be Bava Basra, Kuf Ayin Vav. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Our Gemara begins toward the top of Kuf Ayin Vov Amud Aleph, approximately 5 lines from the top, a Dibur HaMasfil from the Mishnah. Hoitzi alov ksav yodoi, shehu chayav loi. A lender pulls out a document that indicates the name signed in that document, the borrower, is owes him, the lender, money. With such a document, what are the collection possibilities or powers that the lender has? So the Mishnah says, goive minechosim b'nei chorin. Before we continue the Gemara, let us glance at one of the options that are offered in the marked Gemaras, the Shas Ozer, namely the topic headings that accompany every sugya and sugya. On the outside margin, we have a nosei, a topic, loive shemosar lemalve, a borrower that gave to a lender, mismach, a document, shekosav olov, that's written thereupon, shehu chayev lo, that the borrower owes money to the lender. La'achar zman hoide haleve bebeisdin shehu ksav yodo, and after a while, the borrower admitted in a court that the signature there is in fact his own signature. V'kaimuhu beisdin, and Bezdin verified it, and the kosvol of hempek, and signed a court seal indicating that they, the judges, heard this verification, the henpek being the signatures of the three judges. Haim ze hoifech oisoy liois kemilva b'shtar. Does this court verification, the henpek, convert this document that the malva is holding into a written debt? Likvois mimishubodim, and as such, as being a written debt, would it become an instrument with which he could collect from properties that were sold after the loan? Those are called mishubadim, properties on which this malveh would have a lien. We've discussed these topics in previous stopim, and we discovered up till now a lender has powers to collect from purchasers. Those are the lekuchos, the purchasers, or we can call those properties the mishu'abodim, in the event that the original loan was recorded in a document and signed by witnesses. We said that created a koil, that created public knowledge of the loan, hence serving notice to the public that this person just became indebted, and if you buy from this person, you are endangering yourself to be collected from by the lender. Let us now turn to the Gemara. Bo mine rabo bar noson me Rabbi Yochanan. Huchsuk psav yodoi bebeisdin. Rabo asks of Rabbi Yochanan, what happens if the document featured in the Mishnah the Mishnah said hoitzi olav ksav yodoi, that was a document where there were no witnesses that signed it per se. It simply said that the undersigned is indebted to so-and-so, the lender. Now, this document then was brought to Beis Din, and they signed a court verification that the undersigned is a legitimate signature. My. The question is, does the verification of the Beis Din convert this document into a milva b'shtar, into a written debt, and would enable the lender to collect from the mishubadim, from those purchasers that purchased subsequent to the loan? namely they purchased property from the borrower subsequent to the loan. Omar le, Rabbi Yochanan responds, Afal pi shehuchzak sav yodoi bebeizdin, einoi goyve elo minechosat mishu abodim. Even though there is a court verification in this document, it does not convert it into a milva bishtar. And hence, the lender can collect only from the B'nai Chorin, the properties that the borrower himself is in possession of at the time of the collection. The Gemara now asks a question. This is a long question. You can see the length of the question by noticing the encircled kuf letter that's in the space between the Gemara and the Tosfos, namely to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara. The encircled kuf with the long vertical line indicates the length of the long vertical dashed line is the length of the question. This question is contained primarily in the Tanaic source that's quoted. When we pursue the Gemara, we're going to notice a lot of information that not all of which is directly germane to our discussion. With the markings, we are able to focus on the main point that serves as a question. So let us take advantage of the markings even before we learn the Gemara. Notice we've dashed underline toward the beginning of the source that you will see. The source, as you know from having studied the introduction to our marking system, is featured in a frame. That's to set off Tanaic literature, which is in the frames, from the rest of the Gemara. In this source, there is an expression, dashed underline, b'ksav yodo, kosav b'ksav yodo. We have a document that has a person's signature or handwriting in it, and there are no witnesses on this document, as it says in this particular source, Ein Olav Eidim. And at the bottom of the source, at the end of the source, there's a slashed, dashed underline, which says, v'goyve minechosim ishu abodim. So we already can see from this source that we have a document similar to that which was featured in the question posed to Rabbi Yochanan, a Ksav Yodo document, and it says in the source, Goyve Minechosim Mishu Bodim, and if you notice the arrows to the immediate left, right-hand side of the Gemara text, and you line up the arrows, you can see the lower arrow points to the line saying, Goyve Minechosim Mishu Bodim, and the upper arrow, which represents Rabbi Yochanan's ruling, says, Eino Goyve Elo Minechosim B'nei Chorin, which puts Rabbi Yochanan's ruling at odds with what's featured in the Tanaic source, which is, of course, a major problem for Rabbi Yochanan. Let's now see the source inside, bearing in mind that the information contained within the source is really discussed at greater length in Maseches Gittin, which is its primary location. Mosiv Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama raises an objection to Rabbi Yochanan. Shloisha Gittin Psulin. There are three types of divorce documents that are posel, namely that the woman, if she receives them, should not remarry, should not marry someone else with them. The imnises have lad kosher, but if she does remarry, she marries someone else, the subsequent birth of a child from the second marriage will be a kosher child and not be considered a mamzer, namely he who is born from an ashes ish that has relations with another man. She will be considered by Torah law divorced. The Elohein, what are examples of these gittin which are not of the best nature? 1. Kosav v'ksav yodo v'ein olav edim. It's written out without signatures on it, where the handwriting is not forgery, but it has no witnesses signing it. Yesh olav edim v'ein boy zman. A divorce document that has witnesses signing it, but there's no date written in it. Yesh bo yizman v'ein bo elo eid echad. It may have a date in it, but it doesn't have two witnesses. It has only one witness signing it. Harei elu shloshi gittim psulim. These are examples of three gittin that are not considered totally kosher, totally acceptable. V'im nises. However, if the woman does remarry, havlad kosher, the vlad is acceptable. Rebbe Elozer Oimer, Afal pi she'ein olav edim, ela shenosnu lo bifnei edim. If you have a document that does not have witnesses signed on it, but it was given over to the receiver in the presence of witnesses, the document is kosher. This is a function of Rebbe Elozer Shita that says, Edei mesira karsi, that the witnesses who see the handing over of the document are the ones that impose the legal strength that is necessary upon the document. The Rashbam explains that if we were talking about another type of financial instrument, a loan document, such a document would enable the lender to collect from nechosim mishu'abodim, from properties that were sold by the borrower subsequent to the loan. So what do we see from this discussion? We see that you have a case of kosav iksav yodo, and the source says goyve minechosim mishu'abodim. If we look in the Rashbam, in the Dibur Masvah v'goyve minechosim mishu'abodim, klomar v'im shtar milvehu, oisei hashtar hakosav iksav yodo v'ein boi edim elishim asur b'fnei edim, if this document that was written with his handwriting and does not have witnesses that signed therein, but it was merely given over in front of witnesses, and thusly it's explained over there in the Gemara by Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Elazar, Beperek Hamevi, Tinyana, the second perek beginning with the expression Hamevi, Sheafilu Bishar Shtoros, even with other documents, Goivim Nechosim Mishuabodim, the Eide Mesira Bilvad. Collection can be made from properties on which he has a lien, even with the witnesses that simply saw the handing over. Now the Rashbam comes to the main point. Alma, we see from here, Hoitzi Olav Ksav Yodoy Shehu Chayav Lo, Umosroi Bifnei Edim, Goive Mi Mishabdi, V'Kol Shekein Huchsuk V'Beizdin. According to the source that we read, a document that's merely given over in the presence of witnesses enables the lender who received it in the presence of witnesses, he, the lender, can collect from the sold properties that were sold by the borrower afterwards, and certainly, says the Rashbam, emphasizes here, certainly if you're dealing with a document that has a court verification that's signed on it. In other words, mind you, a document has no witnesses on it, is still able to collect from Mishu Badim, all the more so a document that has court signatures, judges signing it, the court verification, all the more so would be able to collect. The Gemara now answers, Shiny Hasam. The case featured in this Tanaic source that enabled the Kosav Ksav Yodah to collect from Mishu Badim is different. De Bishas Ksiva Hu De Shibeid Navshe. That already at the point that it was prepared, the Rashbam explains, it was prepared with the mindset of it being given over in front of witnesses, where the Eidei Masira, the witnesses seeing the handing over, are in lieu of witnesses that signed it. And we know that witnesses that sign a document create public knowledge. So that being, according to Rabbi Elazar, the same with the case of Eidei Masira. However, we're not talking about a document that was written up initially with this mindset. It was written up as a private type document where a borrower obligated himself to pay a lender some money, and only later on was it brought to the court for verification. That later verification, says Rabbi Yochanan, does not impose upon it the power of collecting from Mishu Abodim. As we go on in the Gemara, we encounter a new topic. Orev Hayotze Leachar Chitum Shtoros. The Mishnah made reference to a guarantor whose signature appears after the witnesses who signed the document. So the Mishnah said, Goyve minechosim b'nei chorin. The lender will be able to collect from the guarantor's properties that are in the guarantor's possession, but not able to collect from properties that the guarantor had sold subsequently. Let us glance at the outside margin, Nosei Mivneh. We have a triangle featured, and the explanation of the topic with the structure. Deois, these triangles, as you glance down, our deos, our opinions, beinyan hahashlochis shel mikum chasimas ha'orev, the ramifications of the position in which the orev, the guarantor, signed his name, im lifnei ha'edim oy le'achar ha'edim, if his signature appears before the signatories on the document, the edim themselves, the witnesses themselves, or if the guarantor's signature appears after the witnesses who signed the document. Nafka mina, the practical issue at hand, is ligvois mi mishul bodem or rak mi b'nei chorin. Will the lender be able to collect from mishul bodem, properties that were sold that are no longer in the possession of that orev, or only from b'nei chorin, only from properties that are in the possession of the orev? In general terms, we can think about this as if the orev's signature, the guarantor's signature, appears after the witnesses, it's almost as if it's appearing in isolation, so that the effects of the signatures of witnesses will not be felt with regard to the orev. As we've said on previous occasions, witnesses signing documents create public awareness, and hence a sort of warning to the public that if you buy properties from this individual, or the name that appears in this document, because we're going to talk about the orev as well, if you buy from that individual, you are served notice that he owes money to someone else previously. We open up this particular section with Rav. We have a lot of numbering and lettering that accompanies this particular sugya. Let's make some notes concerning that. We have next to Rav over here a Roman numeral number 1. That means search down, see if you can find a Roman numeral 2, and you will. A few lines later, Rabbi Yochanan, who also appears in a triangle, presents his opinion. Before we get to Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, we're going to have an internal discussion concerning Rav. Hence, we have next to Rav also an Aleph. There's Rav Aleph, and then there's going to be a Beis, at which point the Gemara says a few lines later, Zimin Amar Rav, on other occasions Rav said something else. In addition to that, we have a regular numbering of 1 and 2, 1 in parentheses and a 2 in parentheses. This is under the first presentation of Rav, where a distinction is made regarding the position of the Orev's signature and what Rav holds regarding that. When we get finished with this particular section, before we get to Rabbi Yochanan, we've also provided a little chart, if you will, on the inside margin describing the flow of the Gemara, with Rav, in Rav, first presentation of Rav, and then second, Rav Aleph and Rav Beis, and we'll see a problem, an inconsistency there, and then finally a resolution. The Gemara continues. Omar Rav, Koidem Chitum Shtoros, if the guarantor's name appears before the witnesses who signed the document, then the lender will be able to collect, if need be, from the properties that the Orev himself sold subsequent to this loan. Li'achar chitum shtoros, if, however, the Orev's signature appears after the witnesses' signatures, then the lender will be able to collect only from the properties that are held by the Orev himself at the time of collection. Zimnin Omarav, on another occasion, Rav said, Afilu kodem chitum shtoros, eino goyve elo minechosem b'nei chorin. Even if the Orev's signature appears before the witnesses' signatures, even so, the lender will not be able to collect the mishuabodim. He'll only be able to collect from those properties that the Orev himself is in possession of. Kashya de Rav Adarav. We now see an inconsistency in Rav. Rav Aleph said that Koidem Chitim Shtaros, the lender can collect from the mishuabodim, and Rav Beis says that koidem chitum shtaros, the lender can collect only from the b'nei chorin. Loi kashio, no problem. Ha de kosav bei ploni orev, ha de kosav bei u ploni orev. Rav Beis, and we've indicated that says the lender can collect only from the b'nei chorin, is a situation where the orev when he signed his name before the witnesses in the shtar, he wrote the following. He wrote Ploni Orev, without a Vov before the expression. Rav Aleph, that said that the lender will be able to collect even from the Mishua Abadim, is the Kosov Bey Uploni Orev. He used a Vov. The Vov is known as Vov HaChibur. The Vov connects this statement, Uploni Orev, that so-and-so is the guarantor, with the information beforehand, and when the witnesses sign, the witnesses are in effect signing on everything, the not only that which appeared immediately before them, but the entire document. However, when you do not have the Vov, let us now look at the Rashbam, the lower part of the page, Ploni Orev. If you have a document, and it says in it that so-and-so borrowed money with all of the details, and then close to the end of the document it says, so-and-so is a guarantor, without a Vav, hifsik ha'inyan. It blocks, it serves as a block, as an interruption. V'dilma lo asadi eidim elo ashtora deli'el l'chud. It could be that the witnesses, when signing the document, were signing only that which appeared before this comment, Ploni Orev. However, Uploni Orev, the Rashbam goes on, Vav moisif al inyan rishon. The Vav connects the expression of the Uploni Orev with that which appeared before, the Al Hashtar, the Al Ha'arvus Chasim Isadi. And as a result of connecting these points, when the witness is signed, they're signing on the body of the Shtar and that which is connected to it, namely the Arvus, the guarantor. Continuing in the Gemara, V'Rab Yochanan Omar. Once again, with regard to the markings, we notice this is Rabbi Yochanan, who represents a second opinion, a second to Rav, who was Roman numeral number one above. And as we look in Rabbi Yochanan, we'll also notice an aleph in a diamond. This is to draw our attention to another letter, a beis in a diamond, a few lines later, and we'll explain why the difference. Will tell you that at this point there's a particular version of Rabbi Yochanan, but this is going to change as a result of a question posed upon this, and hence we're going to have to restate this issue and later call that Beis V'chein Omar Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara continues inside. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Echod Ze V'Echod Ze Eino Goyve Elo Minachosim B'nei Chorin V'Af Al Gav De'Kosav Bei U Ploni Orev. Wherever the Orev, wherever his name appears in the Shtar, certainly if it's after the Chitum Shtaros, but even if it's before the Chitum Shtaros, even if it's before the witnesses that signed it, and even if the expression is written U Ploni Orev with the Vav, according to Rabbi Yochanan, collection of Orev property is only from B'nai Chorin. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Vav doesn't seem to have any effect, any influence. Masiv Rava. Rava raises a question, and you'll notice the length of the question as is featured by the encircled kuf with the vertical dashed line. All of the lines opposite this marking are part of the question. Rava asks, Masiv Rava, from a source, Eidim hachasumim al she'elas shalom beget. Puzzle. A person writes a divorce document, and toward the end of the text of the divorce document, there's an indication that so-and-so is sending regards to so-and-so. Someone is asking, there's a divorce document, it may sound peculiar, but toward the end, and so-and-so, the husband is asking about the welfare of so-and-so. And then under that, witnesses sign, we say that the document is posel. Chayshinon shema al she'ela shalom chosmu. We suspect that the signatures are signing only that which appeared immediately before them, namely the She'elat Shalom, this asking of welfare, or we call sending regards. The Omar Rabbi Avo, Lididim Shlomidei to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Avo reports that it was explained to him by Rabbi Yochanan himself, who is the focus of our discussion, She'elo Pasul, if the expression appeared as you had the text of the divorce document, and then She'elos, namely, so-and-so asked about the welfare of so-and-so, posel, then that's what is not acceptable. However, u she'elo, notice the vav, kosher. If you had a divorce document with all of the details that are relevant to a divorce, and it said, and he asked about so-and-so's welfare, the Vav connects the She'ela Sholom with that which is before it, and when the witnesses sign, they're signing on the whole document. That's why it says Ushelo with the Vav in it, kosher. Namely, as we just said, that the signatures of the witnesses are really on the entire content. So how could it be that Rabbi Yochanan makes no distinction before, in the case of Uploni Orev versus Ploni Orev, where here we see that Rabbi Yochanan himself does make a distinction between She'elo versus U'She'elo? So the Gemara answers, Hochanami Tekosav Ploni Orev. When Rabbi Yochanan said that collection is made from the Orev's B'nei Chorin and not from the Mishubadim, it's because there was no Vav. However, had there been Uploni Orev, then Rabbi Yochanan says he would have been able to collect from the Mechosim Mishu'abodim as well. The Gemara asks, Ihochi Hainu Derav, if so that Rabbi Yochanan makes a distinction between the Vav and without the Vav, then that's exactly the same as what Rav said. So there is no controversy. And the question might be asked, then why does Rabbi Yochanan have to speak up at all? So the Gemara says, Emo v'chein omer Rabbi Yochanan. In fact, there is no controversy. And we should understand the sugya that Rav said what he did, and Rabbi Yochanan seconded the motion, so to speak, namely, and thusly Rabbi Yochanan also said, to make this distinction between the presence of the Vav and the absence of it. Maisu Baal Lefnei Rabbi Shmuel, an incident involving an Orev signing a document after Chitum Shtaros, and Rabbi Shmuel ruled that Omar Goive Minechosim B'nei Chorin, that collection can be made from the Orev's currently held properties. Omar Rava Bar Bachan Rabbi Yochanan, Afalpi Shekiles Rabbi Shmuel S. Ben Nanos, even though Rabbi Shmuel praised Ben Nanos, as we saw in the Mishnah, he said, if you want to be Oisek in Dine Momenes, so you should Yeshamesh Ben Nanos. Alocha Kamoisa, the Halocha nevertheless follows Rabbi Shmuel himself, that says, collection can be made from the Nechosim B'nei Chorin of the Orev, as opposed to what Ben Nanos said, that no collection is made whatsoever. The Gemara now asks a question, but before we look at the question inside, let us glance at the topic heading, the Nosei. Bechonuk. The case of the Mishnah, which spoke about Chonuk, a person was attacking someone else. Chonuk strangling. A was strangling B, and a passerby noticed B's predicament and said to A, hey, leave him alone, I'll pay for him. My daito shel Rabbi Shmuel. What is Rabbi Shmuel's opinion in that case? Hayim gam bozeh sover Rabbi Shmuel dehorev mishabe nafshei. Does Rabbi Yochanan, does Rabbi Shmuel say that in that case as well as what he said in the Mishnah, that a standard orev achar chitum shtaros binds himself, does he bind himself as well there, velo keben anas, and not like ben anas, or could be that in the case of the strangling scenario, even Rabbi Shmuel would agree that the passerby who's trying to save the victim is only trying to save the victim and has no intention whatsoever of binding himself financially. So the Gemara now asks, Ibai Aloho b'chonuk ma'li omar Rabbi Shmuel. In that case, what would Rabbi Shmuel say? And as we said before, it could be, and the Rashbam presents the two sides of this question, it could be that in the case of the predicament that the victim is found in, that the passerby feels strongly about his predicament and is willing to bind himself and will become obligated to pay that which he said he would pay, or it could be that the passerby has only one intention, and that is just simply to save the victim's life. And it's a mitzvah to save someone's life, but he has no intention whatsoever to bind himself financially. The Gemara continues, Toshma, let us come and hear an answer. The Omar Rabbi Yaakov, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Choluk, Hoya Rabbi Shmuel, Af Bechonuk.
Rabbi Shmuel will disagree with Ben Anas in the case of Chanukah as well, and in the case of Chanukah as well, the Orev, this guarantor, this passerby, is binding himself. The Gemara now asks, Halacha kamoiso o ein halacha kamoiso? Do we follow that as far as halacha is concerned or not? Tashma, tachi also Ravin Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Cholokoyer Rabbi Shmuel af bechanuk, vehalacha kamoiso af bechanuk. That Rabbi Yishmael, on the one hand, firstly, he disagrees with Ben Anas, and not only that, but we will follow Rabbi Yishmael in the case of Chanuk as well. Namely, the passerby who's offering to pay off the pay money to save the victim does bind himself. Amar Bihuda, Amar Shmuel. Before we go on in the Gemara, we have a numbering system here, and noting Shmuel, and then at the bottom line, a number 2 by Rav Nachman. On the outside margin, we have a nosei, a topic heading, Deois Shoinois, Mosai Amrinon, Dedavka Im Ha'orev, Oso Kinyon. These are going to be different opinions regarding the issue of an Orev, and do we say the Orev only if he makes a Kinyon, Rak Oz Mishabe Nafshe, only then does he bind himself. Namely, only if the Orev makes a Kinyon, that's a legal gesture, generally involving the exchange of a handkerchief, does that and only that bind him, or possibly no? Or possibly the Kinyon is not absolutely necessary. The Gemara continues. Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Chanuk v'konu miyado mishtabe. In the case of the strangling, where we said the passerby is offering to pay to save the fellow, does he bind himself to that obligation? So Shmuel says that he binds himself only if he makes a kinyan. If he makes a kinyan with the attacker, thereby binding himself to pay. If he wouldn't make the kinyan, so then we can say he wasn't really serious in his financial obligation, and his intent was only to save the victim. We'll infer from this, though, michlal de'orev bi'alma, we can infer from this that if you have no extenuating circumstance, you have a standard loan and an orev, a guarantor that was willing to pay off the loan if necessary, lo bo'i kinyan. A kinyan would not be required. Upligo de Rav Nachman. This is at odds or different from that which Rav Nachman rules. The Omar Rav Nachman. Orev de Bezdin, hu de lo bo'i kinyan. An Orev that Bezdin accepts, a guarantor that's approved by Beis Din, he is the one that doesn't need a kinyan. And the reason for that is that a person, because he has the trust of the court, is so overwhelmed and consumed by honor that he is willing to bind himself even without a kinyan. From this we infer, ha be'almo bo'i kinyan. But in general, if you're dealing with a standard orev that appears between a lender and borrower without the court being involved, without this court approval, that type of orev, according to Rav Nachman, would require a kinyan. Notice we have arrows in the Gemara, that namely to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, an arrow pointing to Omer Aleph. Here we've dashed, underlined, Ba'alma bo'i kinyan, and this is to be contrasted with Shmuel's ruling that said that Ba'alma lo bo'i kinyan. Hence, showing graphically the difference between Shmuel and Rav Nachman. The Gemara now rules V'hilchasa Orev. Notice we have a numbering system. We have Orev 1 over here, number 1. The next line, we Orev number 2. Under the number 1, though, we have a breakdown, Aleph and Beis. So the Gemara rules as follows. Orev, Bishas Matan Mois, Loi Bo'i Kinyan. A guarantor who appears at the time the loan is being extended.
Namely, one can assume here that the lender is going to lend the money only because there is an orev who is on the scene at the initial extension of the loan, at the initial presentation of the loan. Under such circumstances, he is bound even without a kinyan. However, achar matan mos, if an orev, a guarantor, comes on the scene after the loan was already given. In other words, the loan was given without reliance upon the orev. The orev shows up later to offer support and a guarantee in the event that the borrower doesn't pay up. That type of arvus, that type of guarantee, boy kinyan. That, in order to create the obligation, this kinyan gesture is necessary. Number two, orev de beisdin lo boi kinyan de bahi hano de mehemen le gomar umeshabed le. The orev who is done with court approval, the court trusts him to serve as a guarantor. That type of orev does not need a kinyan in order to become bound. What is the binding force? It is the honor that he receives by being acknowledged and recognized by the Bezdin that he's willing to bind himself. At this point, we conclude the Masechta, and we say, Hadron Alech get poshut uslika lo maseches bava basra b'li neder. We add b'li neder because in saying Hadron Alech get poshut, we're taking upon ourselves an obligation to go over this perek and hopefully to go over the entire Masechta many, many times. But we want to be careful in our speech, so we add, some people are nohig to add b'li neder, even though many people do not say that. So with that, we offer our mazel tov wishes to all of those who completed the Masechta at this point, and wish a bracha to all of you to continue learning many, many more Masechtas, finish the Shas, review it many times, become experts in the Shas, and hence elevate Klal Yisrael on a personal level and on a national level as well. With that, we end our shiur for today.